This is the fourth chapter of part 4, Poetic Forms. Name of the chapter, The Ode. The ode has its origin in ancient Greece. Among the Greeks, any kind of lyrical poem which was sung to the accompaniment of music was called ode. Its meaning is to sing or to chant. In the modern times, the term ode has become a flexible and obscure one. Attempts have been made by critics to define it, but any definitions do not have a constant feature which can be differentiated from other kind of lyric. New English Dictionary defines ode as a rimed, rarely unrimed lyric, often in the form of an address, generally dignified or exalted in subject, feeling, and style. While Edmund Gosse does it as any strain of enthusiastic or exalted lyrical verse directed to a fixed purpose and dealing progressively with dignified theme. Such diverse views among critics create a difficulty as to which poems will and which will not be included under it. About the ode, Hudson writes that the term is in fact an elastic and most ambiguous one. However, certain features of the ode are found in the modern usage. It has generally elaborate and complex stanzaic form. It may be regular or irregular in its metrical pattern. The subject matter is always serious, dignified, and exalted, and treated in details carefully. It is written in elevated style with the use of heightened diction. The development of thought is logical and clear. In both matter and manner, the ode has a serious tone. Unlike the lyric, the ode deals with the several phases of emotion. It is often in the form of address written in apostrophe. The object may be animate or inanimate or abstract. For example, Shelley's To a Skylark begins with "Hail to thee, blithe spirit," and Keats' Ode to Physic with O goddess, hear these tuneless numbers rung." The ode is generally composed on a state occasion to sing a ruler's birthday, accession, funeral, the unveiling or dedication of some important memorial or public work. The Pindaric Ode. The Pindaric Ode is also called the Dorian or Choric one. It is devised by the Greek poet Pindar. His ode is modeled on the songs supported by the chorus in drama. The Pindaric Ode is written in a complex metrical structure with a set of three stanzas known as strophe, antistrophe, and epode. The first two stanzas are similar in structure, but the third one is different. The strophe is sung by the dancers making a turn from the right to the left, and the antistrophe from the left to the right. In the epode, the dancers remain standing still. This cycle of the set of three stanzas can be repeated in any number of times. The tone of the Pindaric ode is emotional, exalted and intense. It was written for performance in a theater to celebrate athletic victories. It was often incoherent because of the brilliance of imagery and sudden change of subject matter. In English literature, Thomas Gray is supposed to be the most successful imitator of the Pindaric form, but his odes follow the model in appearance only and reproduce an ancient form through which the spirit breathes no more. The Horatian Ode. The Horatian Ode is known for its grace and elegance. It is associated with the name of the Italian poet Horace. He derived this form not from the Pindar but from less elaborate Greek lyrics. The Greek odes were of two kinds, those written for a single voice, such as the lyric of Sappho and Alcaeus, and those written for a chorus in the drama by Pindar. It is usually homostrophic, consisting of a number of short stanzas, similar in length and arrangement. The Horatian ode may be rhymed or unrhymed and has no metrical complexity and elaboration of the Pindaric ode. It is direct, restrained, meditative, calm, dignified and simple. It may be personal or general. The English ode. The English odes are written on three patterns, the Pindaric, irregular and regular. The Pindaric odes were written by Dryden, Alexander's Feast and Ode to Saint Cecilia, and very well imitated by Gray in his The Progress of Poesy and Bards. The irregular ode was first introduced by Abraham Cowley in 1656 without understanding the Pindaric structure. He followed the style and matter of Pindar but discarded the triadic structure and developed its own pattern of varying line lengths, number of lines and rhyme scheme. The irregular odes are Coleridge's Dejection, Tennyson's Ode on the Intimations of Immortality, Ode on the Intimations of Immortality, the regular odes consisting of a series of exactly similar stanzas are best written, Shelley's Ode to the West Wind, Keats' Ode to a Nightingale, Ode on a Grecian Urn and to Autumn, Collins' Ode to Evening and Ode to Simplicity, and Wordsworth's Ode to Duty. Virtually, English odes reached its perfection in the hands of the Romantic poets in the 19th century, particularly in Keats' odes. This chapter is now over.